welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, thanks. Summer's progressing on here. We're going to do a poem on a topic we've touched on in the past, but it continues to be one of those topics that's highly published around, and it is vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
By way of background, vitamin D deficiency is not very complicated or controversial at its extreme. We know that rickets is the most extreme in children, but in adults it is much more controversial. Rickets, first described in the 1600s by Whistler and Glisson, in 1918, not that long ago, Mellenby described the deficiency of a fat-soluble nutrient and postulated that it might be the cause of rickets. And it wasn't very long after that it was shown that skin exposed to sunlight produced a substance with similar properties to this fat-soluble nutrient. The discovery was finally made a decade later of vitamin D by Windus. Anyways, what we know about vitamin D is far-reaching. I'm not going to summarize it all. We know that intestinal absorption is the other major way that humans get vitamin D. It's found in milk and fatty fish and cod liver oil, which our parents used to give us, and to a lesser extent in eggs. And in fact, in the United States, milk is currently fortified with vitamin D2. Subclinical vitamin D deficiency is controversial. It's measured by low levels of 25-hydroxy vitamin D. So when you test for vitamin D deficiency, the lower limits varies depending on the geographic region, the sunlight exposure, and the reference population. Presently, there is no consensus on the optimal concentration for skeletal or extraskeletal health. We know that vitamin D does contribute to the development, or the absence of vitamin D, to the development of osteoporosis and an increased risk of falls. And some have suggested that it might have some impact on mental health, depression or dysthymia. The poem that you're about to talk us through, Mark, asks an interesting question. It was published in the British Journal of Psychiatry, presumably a place where the sun doesn't shine very much. And the question is, does an annual dose of vitamin D improve the feelings of well-being in older women? What did this population study find?
Yeah, this was a study. It was actually in the British Journal of Psychiatry, but it was done in Australia. So they had lots of sun there. So no shortage of sunlight. These were Australian researchers. And it was a randomized controlled trial, double-blinded, and they recruited 2,300 community-dwelling women who were 70 or older, and then they randomized them to get a single yearly gigantic dose of vitamin D, 500,000 international units, or a placebo. And they gave it to them every fall for 3 to 5 years, and they used four different surveys of well-being, mental well-being, and they did them at baseline, and then they did them before and 3 months after the second dose. And they found no significant differences between the vitamin D group and the placebo group in terms of any of these measures. They did see an increase. It's kind of interesting, and I hadn't heard of this kind of dosing of vitamin D. They did find an increase in the vitamin D levels. It went from up about 40%. So if they were 20, it went up to 28, for example. So it did increase their vitamin D levels, but it didn't make them feel any better. And, bottom line, didn't find any evidence of effectiveness. This is really an exploding area of research. It's fascinating to me how this has kind of gotten onto everybody's radar. And, you know, once people started checking vitamin D levels and once a lot of the labs started saying, well, if you're below 30, that's abnormal. They used to say below 20. All of a sudden, a huge percentage of people became, you know, air quote, abnormal. And so now they're all being tested and supplemented. And, you know, we're doing all the things we like to do in America, which is, you know, test and test and test and treat and makes us feel good, makes the patient feel good, you know, everybody feels good, but are they feeling better? And the randomized trials that have been coming out, there was just one on Alzheimer's, didn't see any benefit. There was, you know, there have been others on depression, didn't see any benefit, mental well-being, no benefit. A lot of the, while there's been tons of observational data that's suggestive, just like there was for vitamin E, the vitamin D data from the randomized trial just isn't looking nearly as impressive. And, you know, I think all the information isn't in yet. All of these things haven't been fully studied. And, you know, there may be some benefits beyond the obvious, you know, bone health kind of issues. But so far we're not seeing, you know, there are folks out there who believe vitamin D is a panacea in terms of, you know, Alzheimer's, heart disease, cancer, you name it. And I certainly don't buy that. And I'm, you know, hopeful that they find some evidence for it. But so far, not too much. Well, you know, it's an area that I keep looking for good studies in. And you know, they're just starting to emerge with the randomized trials.
Right. Interesting. I mean, you know, there's, you know, in my practice experience, we've gone through this, as you said, with vitamin E. Magnesium is another one that has, you know, for years everybody thought that it did everything from get you up in the morning to put you to sleep at night. Vitamin A. And you know, there still is a militant group of people sort of my parents' age are just true believers in vitamin C as being a panacea for everything. And, you know, so it is, I think it's this, you know, part of the human psyche that we're looking for the, you know, the magic bullet. We'll keep looking and we'll keep testing. And you can't even blame pharma for this one, you know.
No, it's just, and it's just very interesting, you know, how it all started. And there are actually some nice editorials in the April 2011 issue of Public Health Nutrition. And, you know, they call it the big D-bait, D-bait, and editorial on the Blinded by Science, Pragmatism Forgotten, which is arguing that, you know, we shouldn't be looking for randomized trials. You know, observational studies are enough. We should just give vitamin D to everybody. And interesting debate going on.
Anyways, we'll keep keep everybody posted on the new developments in vitamin D. But for now, at least a mega dose once a year doesn't seem to make...
Doesn't make you healthier, doesn't make you smarter. Nope.
Oh, well, talk to you next week.
All right, see you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.